Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. PK, I've already told you good morning.
Good morning again. Can't be a good enough morning.
You're right. It can't. We were talking last hour about the Jim Schlossnagel situation. So they lose the national title on Monday. He gets up in the post-game press conference, gets asked about the Texas job.
I mean, the carriages had just caught up to him.
Yeah, I mean, his family just arrived. He gets asked about the job, calls the reporter selfish, goes in this long diatribe answer about, I left my family for this job, and this is the only job I'll ever take, and this is still the case, and I'll be here, and all this other stuff. And then 12 hours later, he's the head coach of Texas. What did you make of this whole situation with Jim Schlossnagel, who is now the Texas baseball coach?
Yeah, I have no respect for him. And I'm surprised how many people respond. I tweeted something about it, and people are just like, yeah, everybody does it. It's just the way it works. It's fine. The willingness of people to accept that behavior and a bald-faced lie is just remarkable to me. So, you know, it's the you jump off a bridge, you know, everybody jumps off a bridge, so you jump off a bridge. It's okay. It's permissive now. It's permitted now that just because a chain of people have lied, the next guy now is allowed to lie. But that's your standard out there? I just don't understand
also,
why you lie. They say, well, Nick Saban did it.
Yeah.
Whoa, well, my God, if Nick Saban did it, then well, Nick Saban did it, and I hated Nick Saban ever since. I look at Nick Saban all the time, and I say, there's a guy who just lied directly to a whole bunch of reporters and then showed up in Tuscaloosa and was shocked when a bunch of Miami reporters actually had gotten on a plane and showed up at the press conference to hear him react.
Hi, Nick.
What about those lies you've been telling us for the last 3 or 4 days?
You just said you weren't going to be the head coach
beep,
in Alabama.
Beep,
and here
beep,
you are.
Beep.
Yeah.
And so I hope, and Joe and I were just talking about it, he thinks there'll be enough independent reporters. I think there are enough Texas homers that certainly the Texas people would not ask him about it,
yep,
which is a pathetic thing about covering college sports. But I want A&M guys. I want the guy who was told he was selfish to be front row at that press conference. Now, the guy, I don't expect him to apologize to that guy. But then I don't want fans on Twitter to make it like this savior coach is the big man in this, and the reporter somehow did something wrong.
Well, and by the way, to people saying that this happens all the time, this does not happen all
no.
the time. Like, the way that he answered that question, that is not what happens all the time. And it's usually a,
yeah, obfuscate.
You know. Yeah. I mean, now's not the time to
it's
talk about
it. It's very easy
this.
To yeah. say, look, I'm grieving with this team
yeah, exactly.
right now, and it's about the Aggies and whatever. And then everybody goes, oh, well, he didn't answer the question. Well, that's fine.
Well, you know, the thing is, he wasn't asked directly. Like, he wasn't asked directly, are you taking the Texas job?
They didn't even mention Texas in the question.
Now, right. Everybody knows what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean,
first of all, good job for the reporter asking him. Phrasing could have been better, but regardless – now, he wasn't even, like, pinned down on that, so it's really easy to not answer if you're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if you're asked directly, yeah, you're like, well, I'm just not going to get into that. This is not the time for that. I love this job. I love this team. I love my family. Oh, I miss them so much. I sent them a lantern in the mail. You know, whatever. I mean, it's, yeah. No, this is not what happens every time, and he should come out and proactively apologize because like so many more people in this country know Jim Schlossnagel now
yeah.
just because of this dumb 48-second clip.
Well, and again, like,
and that won't do it for me. I don't care. He's dead to me.
I understand that the
I mean, I'm not a college baseball guy. I didn't know who he was before this tournament, and I don't give a damn about him after this tournament.
But he's dead to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand.
Thus, I don't know him anymore.
Look, there's frustration in the immediate aftermath of a championship loss. Like, I get it. But this is different than that. Like, blowing up on a reporter is one thing. Like, that's going to happen after an emotional loss. But he knew he was taking the Texas job. If they announced it yesterday,
oh yeah,
how long has he known about it?
And he said, write that.
So to
write
then
that.
Actively
so
choose
all, everybody
to
everybody wrote it.
That's the part of this that I can't get over. Like, he actively
that's
chose
weird.
To go down that path knowing that the next day he was headed to Texas.
It would be so hard for me not to ask it. Hey, the other day you told us write that when you lied to us. So what lie would you like us to write today?
Maybe he'll come out.
Maybe we need you on the Texas A&M beat. Get down there.
Maybe he'll come out at the press conference and say, the next day Texas called me and it just blew my mind.
I hope he does say that because that would be
the biggest lie.
Just continue to build on the lie.
Oh, man.
Okay. So he's Joe's boy.
Yeah. That's my guy.
Joe said he was a bountiful quote.
Yes.
I loved engaging with him.
Yes.
I found him to be honest.
A very nice man.
And accurate. And then Joe's there and he misses the moment.
Yeah.
Misses the moment.
He's out watching Vitello's antics. Yeah. By the way, watching Vitello's classy antics.
We got a text on the text line. Apparently, the little chop that he did after he ate the ice cubes is what people think is the WWE reference that McElroy's making.
Oh, he did like the suck it thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see that, but okay. Great. And he did nothing at all remotely negative toward Texas A&M.
The first thing he did was
go to those other coaches and congratulate them and do. They did like a hockey, like handshake line with just the coaches.
Yeah,
I mean seriously.
So his winning a championship got Curry off the hook.
Yep.
Now what could happen that gets Fulmer off the hook and Rex Rhode calling Fulmer and writing a piece about how how Fulmer
Jerry
got too
Pruitt
much
Rhodes Scholarship. Well. Philip, you knew all along, didn't you, buddy?
Jeremy Pruitt gets his doctorate.
I'd like to thank you for this Nobel Peace Prize. That's a terrible Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, I'm wearing my schmata on my head because it's hot walking in and out in the classroom.
Moving forward here. And Blake Topmeyer, you know that orange marker over there is its first down.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
I missed that guy.
Was that after Bama game?
That was after they got beat by about 35 points by Alabama.
Yeah. Now that's a tough one. Did Fulmer? I'm trying to think though. Fulmer hired Kelly Harper.
I don't think there's much
that's
left.
About the
on
only
Fulmer
other
train.
Hire is that the only other hire he made?
Yeah,
was Kelly Harper. Yeah,
and there's not much left for Fulmer.
It's a tough one.
Much left. We'll get into the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Your questions for Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063. The game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. I want to run this by both of them. I was thinking about this yesterday. We spent a lot of time talking about the offense this offseason. Titans have a fourth-place schedule. Let me just list off the quarterbacks that they're playing against this year. Caleb Williams, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, Tua. Obviously, you've got the divisional, so Richardson twice if he's healthy, Lawrence, Stroud. Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Drake May, Justin Herbert, Sam Darnold / J.J. McCarthy. Joe Burrow. And did I miss one? Oh, yeah, Jaden Daniels. So you get the rookies, too. So some easier on paper quarterbacks.
Fascinating
that we don't
for
know
sure.
about. Fascinating for sure. But Burrow.
Everybody but Mahomes, right?
Yeah, pretty much everybody but Mahomes.
Yeah.
Towards the top. That doesn't really feel like a fourth place quarterback type schedule there.
Well, you like the rookies, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Sam Darnold. I like those four. Because I'm not counting on them being that hot out of the gate. Certainly Caleb Williams getting game one. That's good. I'm not that excited about May or Daniels first time around, first season around. And Darnold, you know, I think Minnesota can be a good team. I like the coach. I like their weaponry and all of that. But I don't think he's a guy that's going to beat you single-handedly. A lot of those other guys can beat you single-handedly. And the Titans' pass rush we've talked about is a concern. You get to beat them with coverage and blitzes and all of that. But that's a very good line of questioning. That is close to a murderer's row. And you're getting Rodgers before he gets banged up.
Yep.
You know, took four snaps last year. Yeah.
The odds would tell you.
Yeah. You would think.
Yeah.
You would think so.
That's a nasty list. You know, and the schedule thing is only three games, and really the only place it really helps them is avoiding Kansas City.
Correct.
But that's an intimidating.
Well, and some of it, you got circumstance, right? Like the Bengals happen to have the year where Burrow. Right.
That's
gets
what I'm
hurt,
saying. Like that's, so, yeah, that's I mean, a fourth place yeah. matchup, and it's Joe freaking Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so there's just some bad luck involved there. And again, it's like this year. That like at right now in past years it's been it wouldn't be bad, but right now the NFC North is not ideal, just because especially because I think the Lions and Packers in particular are really good teams.
Yeah, and you know I agree, like the, getting Caleb Williams off the jump you would think would be good. Now I mean Marcus looked good
his first game. Right. For perfect QB rating.
I'm just throwing it
first
out there.
Game, 158.3.
So who are the scheduled games? Bills?
Yeah, it's Bengals.
Bengals for sure. Yeah. Chargers.
Chargers.
And
let's see. Here's the other one.
That's the problem. It's like the 17
Commanders,
game
maybe?
Now.
Commanders. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes. So, and that's a. I mean, that's a
better game.
That's what you hope. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these quarterbacks.
Bengals is the unfortunate.
Like when you, some of these quarterbacks you list off are like, yeah, they just went really high in the draft to a crappy team. So there you go.
Well, right? even the Chargers, like the Chargers were awful last year. I think we would all agree that they have severely underachieved, particularly with who their quarterback is. You know, Harbaugh. Him coming in, I think would be they're going to be really intriguing this year to see how now they. I don't have any wide receivers.
That's the issue. The weaponry and Eckler's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, so they really have, you know, to create some weaponry for Herbert, and they're going to run a lot more, right? I think, you know, the J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, it's not a terrific backfield by any means, if I'm looking at it correctly here. But Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnson and Ladd McConkey are their receivers now.
Doesn't scare you.
That's not what they've historically had. So what kind of magic can Harbaugh work with that group? You know, I mean, I think Herbert will be better with worse weapons. But how much better, you know, I don't know. And the Titans generally have a Charger issue. Well,
yeah.
Which means nothing, but no. Yeah, if you want to lean on history, that's fine.
Yeah, but you know what
they've
I mean.
They've struggled going out there.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Titans were around when Dan Fouts was QB, woo, baby.
Your boy.
Talk about some struggles.
Your boy.
That Bengals game I don't like at all. You know, I think this is the Bengals' real go-for-it season,
yeah.
keeping
yeah.
Higgins. You know, question of how they replace Callahan with is it Painter?
They've had a lot of good games against those, but it's interesting now with the same system here now. It's a totally different matchup, right?
Well, assuming Joe Burrow can throw a forward pass this year
yeah.
rather than last year.
That, to me, is the game of the year on the Titans schedule, and it comes late. But, you know, you've got a lot of cross stuff, and if the Titans are any good, it could be, you know, a vital, vital game. And, you know, I don't know that any Titans fan ever gets away from seeing the Bengals now and having a flashback to that divisional game here with the 9 sacks and the loss.
The quarterback.
That was a scar game.
No doubt about it. The quarterback schedule, I mean, it, like you said, it's daunting. Now, the likelihood is at least one, maybe two of those guys probably won't be playing at the time that the Titans play them just because of the way injuries work out. But there's probably somebody on this list. Whether it's Richardson in Indianapolis or Daniels in Washington or McCart, whoever, that's playing really well that nobody is expecting to play well on this thing too. So it's not going to work out exactly how we think it is sitting here today on June 26th, but it feels like a pretty daunting schedule.
And it's unfair. It doesn't work that way, but people look at it, you know, especially, you know, if you put up a TV graphic, who are the two people you put up? Well, it's Levis and the other quarterback. So people look at it as Levis versus Burrow, Levis versus Herbert, even though they're never on the field at the same time and all of that.
It'll always be Levis now, won't it?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. It's been 22 forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will they ever put, like, Jeff Simmons up?
probably not a defender. Now, maybe if Ridley's going really well, it could be Ridley or it could be Hopkins.
When Jeff Hostetler was quarterbacking the Giants, did they never put LT up?
I think LT
Could they put graphics up back in
the day? I think
that's a fair point.
I think LT was otherworldly enough that he qualified. But I wouldn't talk about Jeff Simmons and LT in the same
Trey
breath.
Avery, I have an idea for you on your graphic.
Brian, did you see the TV copy of the film?
I'm still holding out hope that Trey Avery is not on the roster.
Oh, God,
why?
I hope he
is. Less fun for everyone. Come
I hope
on,
he is.
So you want, big bombs connecting down the sideline?
No, he says he has to play.
Doesn't have to play.
Yeah, just be on the roster.
Then Glennon
just
can
be
ask
there
about
so Glennon can ask about
there so
listen,
he can ask.
Let's not make a mistake here. If there's no Trey Avery on the roster, there will be a Trey Avery
That's a fair
on the
point.
Roster.
It's not the same.
And then we'll have the fun of guessing who the Trey Avery will be for Glennon. It could, in fact, be more fun.
Gentry! Losing sucks! I hate losing!
Coach, Mike? What about Trey Avery?
Trey Avery.
How's he doing? Hey, Gentry! I'm on your
face!
Excuse me, John! Excuse me! And when I say losing sucks, what I mean is... But, Coach, what about Trey?
You know what makes this even better? Is Glennon absolutely hates when we do this.
No, he hates when we do it, but he does not listen to any sports talk radio ever.
Okay.
So he has no idea that this is happening unless a friend of him.
You're going to get smoked.
Unless a friend of his is telling it. And this friend of his doesn't tell him.
We told him about this in the locker room of the Preds game one time. He's mortified.
He just shakes.
Just mortified.
He's like, "What are you guys doing?
Keandre Coburn.
People care about this." And we're like, "Yes, it's great radio. You have no concept of what's going on." He just shakes his head.
He turned Glennon into a cult hero.
Like he's 80. Shakes his head like the grandpa that doesn't understand like what's going on. You mean there are electric lights now? I have to throw away my candles?
I mean, it certainly set a Trey Avery on the radio content record. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He's a cult hero, too. They both are.
Yeah.
Gabe Judy Lally, that's a good one, Trevor. Trevor, that's a good one.
How much do we care about, you know, apparently Will Levis is on vacation in Cabo. And I guess Calvin Ridley put up a Snapchat story yesterday of them working out on the
field.
Who is
following Snapchat?
I don't know. I'm just telling you. He put
our
up a
young
Instagram
audience
story.
Coming through.
Well, that's what we do here.
Apparently they love us.
Ridley's there. I saw Hopkins there. They're out running routes, throwing the ball in the field, even on Cabo on vacation.
Be careful in the sand. Just remember Robert Edwards. That's what I say. Don't you think of that when you think of guys running in the beach?
Yeah.
It's totally over my head.
When the Pro Bowl was still kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they played in Hawaii the day before the Pro Bowl. They had like a sand game, and Robert Edwards like mangled his knee like beyond recognition. Career-ending sand football game injury.
Hmm. Now, if it's Pro Bowl related, I guess that's why I have no idea.
This is like almost lose your leg related.
Wow.
Well, people were very impressed on Twitter yesterday of Will Levis practicing even on vacation.
So someone texted in and said, please address Stilly obsessed with who paid for it.
That's an interesting question.
I have heard
that, you know, Levis said that he was taking some guys to Cabo.
Yeah.
And Stilly was like, well, he doesn't make enough money. Shouldn't DeAndre Hopkins be doing that? Like, shouldn't Calvin Ridley be doing that?
I don't think that Will Levis
he makes
is
enough
paying
money
for DeAndre Hopkins to go to Cabo. I don't.
Yeah, that's one of those where it's
like, don't worry about it, man.
Yeah, like pay for
you
the
can
young
pay my
guys,
whole way. Yeah.
But like, Hop, you good? You get, all right, I got mine. Okay.
Yeah.
They put in the credit cards at dinner, and it's like, you know, Hopkins.
Credit card
roulette.
I'll
have a separate.
It's like credit card roulette with the undrafted rookie. gets
sorry, kid.
And that's like his entire bonus
paying?
Is gone.
Yeah.
I
bet
NWI. What about his payment?
Is he down there? Too?
I don't know. I didn't see
if
him.
If he's not down there, that's a scandal.
That's a problem.
That's a Stilly show right there.
He's probably up here grinding. He's up here grinding.
They're not grinding down there?
Well, I don't know. But NWI is grinding, and no distractions with the beach. Just grinding. Grinding film.
No quarterback.
Run.
No football.
He's grinding. He's grinding with Malik. And so he hasn't caught a pass yet. But he's grinding.
More of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join the Nashville Predators for the 2024 NHL Draft Watch Party at Draft Picks Restaurant and Bar inside Fordyce Center Bellevue this Friday, starting at 6. Celebrate the newest members of Smashville while enjoying food and drink specials, door prizes, games hosted by Wayne D, and a live broadcast from 102.5 The Game as well. More details at NashvillePredators.com/draft. Draft coming up on Friday from the Sphere in Vegas, which Joe Rexroad is an expert in. I'm sure over under Joe, the amount of Nashville Predators Sphere jokes that will be made on the draft broadcast.
So that's really interesting that they're having that at Sphere. That's more like a place where people would go and maybe chew like half a gummy and like flip out at the screen. Dude, this is so amazing. And they're having a draft
and
in there.
Dead and Company are playing there right now.
Yeah. It's like Fish.
Go from Dead and Company to NHL draft back to Dead and Company. Yeah. And then the Eagles are coming soon.
Hey. Ooh, really?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So here's my question for Joe. Earlier when I was driving in, I heard your conversation about bald-faced lie.
Okay.
And you looked it up, and then you gave a lot of credit to Webster as you looked it up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Noah Webster.
Yeah.
A fine patriot I've come to learn. Yes.
Okay, but who's Merriam?
I don't know. Good
Merriam-Webster dictionary, and you're giving all the credit to Webster and none of the credit to Merriam, and Merriam's name comes first.
I think it's Merriam. Now, you're saying Merriam. Merriam? Like it's a woman's first name. It's M-E-R-R-I-A-M, right?
All right. Well, who's Merriam?
George Merriam.
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell me something about George.
Yeah.
Was he a was he a radical communist that combined?
Combined with the Patriot? Oh, now we're going to get political.
Oh, God.
This left-leaning dictionary guy. George. I got to change the channel now.
George Merriam insisted on the word woke in the dictionary. Yeah.
Maybe so.
Okay, interesting. So there you go. Merriam.
Born in 1803, died in 1880.
Worcester, Mass. Yeah. All right. I spent some time in Worcester.
He didn't tell me much about him. He told me where he's from.
He was a publisher. He founded GNC Merriam, and that eventually became Merriam-Webster.
And those were his favorite letters in the dictionary.
I'm reading Wikipedia
on the
air.
G section of the
He's responsible for the G's and the C's. That's it. Webster's got the rest.
Had all the rest. The patriot. What made this other guy so patriotic?
Well, you don't know did you not ever hear the Tony Vitello like post game from a couple weeks ago?
Oh, man, it was awesome.
We don't have time I'll quickly review. The day before when they lost to Evansville, one of the TV folks asked one of his players about, like, well, this could be a non-successful season. So they won the next day, and Vitello, what was it, three minutes?
7 minute
I mean, it was like, and he's just he was pissed about it. And by the way, I can say that word. Don't drop it, Nick. Apparently, Nick just randomly drops me all the time, and I don't even know. He just had this completely wild rant, including talking about how Webster defines success. And then he's like, no, Webster, I never met the guy, but fine, patriot. We've been losing patriotism a little bit. I mean, it was, you got to go listen to it, man. It's
good.
Amazing.
It was good. Let's go to our 102.5
Next week, we'll work on the thesaurus guy.
We will. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, but so yeah, I think Tony Vitello is a little weird, but I mean, it doesn't mean he's not a beast. There's plenty of weird beasts out there. PK, so a couple of years ago, man, well, it was like 2010, 11, something like that. You guys are sitting here talking about could Jeffrey Simmons possibly be the face? I remember when Mark Mariani was running promo videos for season tickets, and like so much so. And the reason I'm calling is because you're on there. I remember calling your show back in the day and going, dude, who's going to be our captains? And you're like, I don't know. And that's when you know, like, as a fan, we're in trouble, dude. Like, this is – I mean, you got Zach Mettenberger taking snap. Like, there's a lot of bad things going on with your organization when you can't even pick a freaking captain. Like, it's bad. Like, who are we going to put up for videos? A guy who returns one kick for a touchdown. That's your season ticket sale. So, life looks a lot better these days around here. That's all I'm saying.
That's absolutely true. But I did say this at one point, you know, to Lawan, who used to use that all the time. He'd say, well, it's certainly a lot better than when we won 2 and 3 games. I said, well, at what point does that no longer become the standard, that you're substantially better than the 2 and 3 win seasons. You know, at a certain point, you no longer refer back to those seasons. So I get your point. I mean, it was a miserable, miserable time, and you never want to go back to that. But in terms of a reference point, we're well beyond, you know, there's nobody left that had a sniff of that.
Yeah, at some point, that kind of loses its steam as something worth talking about.
Well, and look, you know, Levis, he's the quarterback. So Levis is that guy until it's proven that he's not, right? Like, you're trying to build around him and the quarterback part of this. You know, he brought up Mettenberger, like getting flashbacks to watching Mettenberger almost die on the field one day when J.J. Watt had about 12 sacks
against a Will
in
Speed
one game.
Pack.
Yeah, it did not go very well. But, like, you know, Levis, we just went through the quarterback list of teams that they're going to be playing this year. Levis could be that guy for somebody else. Like, I just brought up Richardson. Like, what if Richardson turns out to be great? Well, what if Levis does? Like, Levis could end up being where that's a heck of a matchup by the end of the year. You get the Levis and Burrow. And I'm not saying he's Joe Burrow, but if he turns into what they hope he can be this year, well, then that's your guy moving
forward.
But
these other radio stations around the country who are running through the quarterbacks their teams are playing are all looking
they're
at Levis as a pause
Levis.
Weekend.
Yep.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I just saw more, and I saw, I don't know, was it PFF? Do we talk about that one? There was a new one I saw in the last couple of days where I think they had Levis like 28th or 29th, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's about where people.
I mean, I don't think we're pumping them up to put them, you know, 18th, 16th.
You're saying that's not crazy.
Yeah, I think 28th is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I will say once you go through all, you know, it's kind of like, okay, are you automatically putting Caleb Williams ahead of him? I guess probably. I mean, he's the number one pick, supposed to be a generational talent, right?
Yeah.
Some people would say don't put any rookies behind a guy who's at least played some NFL
football. I'd say Caleb Williams, yes. But I don't know about May and Jaden and
– But that's what people are doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, like – Russell Wilson
enthusiasm
would you
that
put,
sells.
Would you put
product.
Russell Wilson for sure ahead of Will Levis right now?
No.
Most of the league would. But I
would not.
He might be a platoon.
He may not even be the starter by week 4.
Yeah.
That's
and if you're putting Wilson there, then what are you doing with who's his counterpart? I can't even
Fields.
Think. Fields.
Yeah.
I mean, you're putting them both ahead of him?
That's the thing.
The combo.
Yeah. Or you're slashing them?
Yeah.
Wilson / Pickett or
Fields,
which hey, Pickett's there
Pickett.
Too. Hurts Pickett.
Wilson Pickett would be
that'd be something.
Wilson Phillips, also
Hurts Pickett. I mean, if Pickett's playing in Philadelphia, Hurts has to be close to dead.
I don't watch a ton of serious football, but there's a great example, right? Of like if you don't watch a team regularly, but. Like, do we know Kenny Pickett sucks for sure? Like, he has no chance. He's just bad.
I mean,
he has no chance of being an NFL quarterback.
Well, I would say he's got no chance, but it's been pretty bad.
He's got to reform mentally, attitude-wise, to have a chance.
Attitude-wise?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't like him because he didn't want to dress as the second quarterback in their 17th game and because of how he reacted to them bringing in Russell Wilson. If you're with the Pittsburgh Steelers and you do those things, I mean – what kind of sensibility do you have? You have to know how to carry yourself in those situations. So you're starting from there.
Yeah.
Plus, he didn't play well at all in his chances over 2 seasons.
He was amazing in the preseason.
And now he's backing up a guy with a completely different skill set.
No, I know. That's a weird – That's a strange.
You know, and you can't find a guy that has the skill set of your starter all the time. That's a dream scenario.
Sure.
You'd like that, but you're not often going to be able to get it. So, you know, now he's a reclamation project. Philadelphia maybe can do something with him. They saw some value in him. I don't remember what they gave up for him. It wasn't much.
No.
It's just amazing, you know, some of these guys who – the quickness of
it's a 2-year thing now.
Yeah,
it can be less than that.
And again, like Jordan Love flies in the face of all that and working out pretty well.
Huge exception to the rule.
I do. Hey Nick, do you have that real quick? Just play that for PK in case you didn't hear it.
What rock star were you channeling there with the crowd surfing?
I think Stone Temple Pilots, and I promise I don't do drugs, but you know that was my first rock concert right there.
That's just you got to get in more into Tony Vitello.
I like that.
I celebrate his entire catalog.
I saw Stone Temple Pilots at the Houston Astrodome.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
The year I lived in Houston.
Wow.
I wonder if Tony V was like a young, wild teenager.
How old is Tony V?
He's like 45.
Yeah.
He could have been a young man out there crowd surfing back then, too.
Well, I don't know. Did he live anywhere near Houston? Did he say goodbye to his family?
I smoked
Mother
constantly.
Play it again, Nick.
By the way,
No.
Shout out to DJ Burnside for another wonderful piece of art on Twitter of Schlossnagel just leaving his family, walking away from his house, and his crying family in the background.
So good.
This will never get old. 615-737-1025.
Mother, father, I'm going to Stone Temple Pilots. I'll see you on the fortnight.
We haven't made the connection here, but you know who left his family legitimately? It was Brian Callahan. He's just getting back together with his family just on the 11th. Got back together with his family after a long period away. He said that last day of OTAs that the moving trucks were finally moving trucks, not covered carriages. We're in the driveway in Cincinnati. Yeah, he waited for motor transportation as opposed to Schlafnagel, who was going horse and buggy.
Schlossnagel, it's not F.
I don't care.
Dude.
I'm going to mispronounce it out of disrespect.
Nothing is over. Nothing.
Just hurts.
You lie to me.
Family.
You lie to me. I will mispronounce your name with intent.
Don't get sharded on Kaharski.
I've sent my letter to my family via pigeon.
Snuff a
and
love
they will
again.
Respond. In 3 days' time. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. This Friday and Saturday, 93.3 Classic Hits will be carrying live coverage of the Rackley Roofing 200 and Tennessee Lottery 250 races at Nashville Super Speedway. Brought to you by Green Trees. It'll begin Friday at 6:30, Saturday at 3:30. Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville, available online at greentreescompany.com. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us. Brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, Ed on the text line. Says, if one of those guys gets injured in Cabo, do they get paid? Isn't there a risk when players get together and do this on their own?
They're not going to get in trouble for throwing a football.
Right. Like if
they're jet skiing.
Yeah, exactly. If they do some dangerous, some parasailing or something, then that could be a problem.
I don't see how you get hurt parasailing. It's the most mellow activity.
What if you land in the mouth of a shark?
Well, I mean, if you want to get cartoonish about it, are you going to throw in some anvils and into walls?
Sharks,
like
sharks don't swim in the ocean. Oh, that's
I've been parasailing.
Show me
that's
all
a road
the
runner?
Stories. Show me all the stories about parasailers landing in the mouth of sharks.
I will say,
I don't think it's cartoonish.
I was parasailing in Panama City, and you get up there. I mean, you can see some sharks. They bring you down for a dip. And I remember just being let down for doubt. I swear to God, if there's a shark down there and it bites my leg off, I'm going to die, but I'll sue you before I die.
So there you go. So here's someone who was up there and saw sharks below and then came down.
See, this is the world of the imagining. He imagined it happening, and then what happened? He dipped, and he went back up,
and, that was good.
And there was no shark.
And you're talking Wile E. Coyote and Acme explosives. It's a little different.
I think that's not much of a jump from your imaginary dipping into a shark's mouth.
Hey, sometimes
I think your humor is jump the shark.
Okay, Jonah.
Sometimes that line gets loose, though, and people are just floating away on the parasail. They run inside of the building.
Yeah, I couldn't do the parasailing thing, man.
It's
pretty fun.
It's like being on a kite. There's nothing
great
to it.
Like, I like being on the ground and flying kites.
Seriously, once you did it, there was nothing
awesome
to it, right?
No, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
It was so calm.
That is actually an interesting one. So, obviously, like motorcycles, things that are in contracts for NFL guys, like motorcycles, stuff like that. But, like, how?
Jet ski, basketball.
Yeah. But what about like, bungee jumping?
Certainly, I would put bungee
probably
jumping
in there. Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, if something goes wrong there, they're going to die anyway.
Right. You won't get paid.
If you die, you're not paying them, and you also lose their services.
That's true. That's
upon true death, you no longer have
the contract.
Then there's a hole in the depth chart.
Yeah. NWI would continue to grind.
people are very much enjoying Kuharski's Malik crack earlier.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker says he loves listening to us, but then also don't swear because he's taking his young kids. So
we follow the FCC regulations.
Well, apparently Nick thinks I swear all the time. I didn't realize that.
So you gosh darn it, drop. Saying,
he bleeped me out for saying jackass. Jackass, way, jackass, jackass. You Keezer. Can say that. Yeah, see? Yeah. You got no chance now. There's nothing wrong with that word.
Hey, let me say this to that. WTF. See how that's allowable also?
Keezer has sent me a story from Yahoo. And this was in July of 2021 in Jordan, the country. The man was being pulled by a boat parasailing. While he was attached to the type of paraglider, the shark came up to the surface and bit his foot off.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Sweet victory for X-Rush. It's happened once.
I mean, like, the idea that it's just insane.
What are the
cartoon?
Odds?
No. Sharks are in the oceans.
All right, so here's your lesson.
For you to land.
Don't parasail when in Jordan.
Yeah, it's only in Jordan.
Those Jordanian sharks.
Find
me an American example. The good old USA.
That's right.
Where the sharks are more well-behaved.
Schlossnagel swimming away from a shark as he leaves his family.
Yeah, we wanted to connect the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter account to Schlossnagel leaving home.
That is
dearest
a true.
Dearest mother. It's been 14 long days
the
since I left TCU.
The journey from Fort Worth to College Station was brutal.
I do miss
and the
that.
Journey from College Station to Austin even worse.
It sprinkled one day.
I do miss that account. I forgot about that account. That was great.
Yes, I love
also, Andrew Luck was good.
I mean, he
family
needs
went
to
through
get
a quarter of a tank of gas to
he
get
needs
there.
To get grief for this, I left home. More grief than I mean. I want international grief for this.
Young people, Gretchen bought a pack of Twizzlers on her way to see me.
I mean, if he feels like he really did something, then Brian Callahan should have a parade.
Yeah,
he really left his family behind. For like 6 months.
By the way,
that's actually
they
what
finished
happened.
School. I mean, yeah. It was a much bigger deal than 175 miles.
Austin is
how far is Cincinnati?
Austin's 106 miles.
4 hour drive
from College Station. So tack on another.
Wait, how
another
many?
106 miles from College Station.
Oh my God!
I didn't realize they were that close. Yeah, right. Yeah.
How is the family going to survive?
Well, now they have to redirect their route from Fort Worth to, yeah, they got to redirect.
They might not make it through this one.
Will they get word that they must change course?
It was very difficult last time, but I don't know if they could do it again. And the kids are older now, less interested in dad.
Unfortunate part. Yeah, he's abandoned them long ago. Unfortunately, like, for them, it's more of a straight line between Fort Worth and Austin. So it was,
they don't have to zag.
It was 175 miles between Fort Worth and College Station. It's only 189 Fort Worth to Austin. So,
interesting. Wow.
Just adding a few more miles to the trip.
I hope that all of this gets sent to Schlossnagel. I hope he gets this.
He should do a journal of the family separation, and then it would be a bestseller in Austin. My Travails.
By Jim Schlossnagel.
Separation from family helped me focus on sacrifice bunts.
I think we should send you down to the presser.
I would love it. Oh, I would pay to see it.
Just randomly, Kaharsky just shows up at that presser.
Hey, Jim, why are you lying to us?
How many lies today? I'm starting a ticker. How many pages do I need?
How far did you walk to get to your family,
there
Jim?
We go. BK, thank you.
Joe Pesci also making an appearance at the press conference. Oddly enough, don't block the box, but be sure to lock your lock.
That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.